Okay, let's turn our attention to the international newspapers. Emily Boyle has been scouring them for us. And Emily, going to start off with the main story this Monday morning, the conflict between Iran and Israel, taking over, I'd say, a lot of front pages.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's start with the Israeli paper, the Jerusalem Post. They have it, of course, on their front page. Here they have a photo of the destruction following a strike in the residential neighbourhood of Bat Yam. They also quote Defence Minister Israel Katz saying that Israel will destroy any military assets in Tehran. Now, the paper says the conflict could last weeks, but that Israel's military superiority over Iran could possibly shorten it. Now, let's go to Iran with the Iran Daily here. Now, they have photos of the aftermath of an Iranian strike on an Israeli oil refinery in Haifa on their front page. It's described as a successful retaliatory operation which caused widespread disruption. Their front page also features an interview with the Iranian president saying that Iran is not seeking war but defending itself, very much about defense there on the Iran Daily. And the Tehran Times, meanwhile, is taking a slightly different approach when it's as covering the conflict, looking at it slightly differently, highlighting the victims of Israel's latest strikes, civilians, and more civilians. It also features a photo of international condemnation of Israel down here, a photo of the protests going on in London. Now looking at L'Orient Le Jour, this paper in Lebanon here, they're looking at Trump and pointing the finger at him whilst waiting for Trump's decision without clear objectives on either side. Everyone is waiting on the president to make a move, it says. Meanwhile, Iran and Israel continue to battle it out, a choice between cholera or the plague, it says in that opinion piece on the front page there. Now, in France, Libération is kind of echoing the same feelings on their front page here. Dynamic of the worst, it says, saying that it's in the interest of both parties to continue the conflict in order to stay in power. Finally, L'Humanité taking quite a stance on their front page here. They call the conflict Netanyahu's war without limits.
And beyond the front pages, Emily, a lot of opinion pieces continue a little bit in that same steed, but a good bit of debate over where this may go.
Yes, of course, very much debated in the columns. Let's have a look first at this opinion piece in The Guardian. Trump, Netanyahu and Khamenei, three angry old men who could get us all killed. He argues here that it was an avoidable war that Israel chose, but which could have been prevented. He says that the behaviour of the three leaders raises serious doubts about their judgment, common sense, motives and even their sanity. Now, the New York Times, meanwhile, is slightly less gloomy. This analysis piece is a bit more hopeful. It says that diplomacy with Iran is damaged but not dead. The article says that a nuclear deal could be revived despite the strikes. It adds that if war is diplomacy by other means, then diplomacy has never really finished. The article says that both the Iranians and Trump want a deal, but how that would look like depends on how and when this latest conflict ends. Now, foreign policy has a few ideas about how it might end. In this analysis piece, it outlines a few different scenarios: a grudging Iranian surrender, a US-guided ceasefire, or an increase in international pressure on Netanyahu, to name a few. But it says that darker scenarios are most likely, including a potential regional war, escalation maybe even coming from the United States.
Okay, a sharp change of tone now, Emily. The next thing you're turning to is the busy weekend that it was for football fans after the launch of FIFA's controversial Club World Cup. The tournament seems to be making quite a number of headlines, but not always positive ones.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's look at the Telegraph for their review of the weekend. A Bayern thrash team of forklift drivers and fizzy drink salesmen 10-0 in FIFA farce. The Telegraph calls it the worst ever mismatch. Auckland's amateur team struggled to even get a full squad to the competition, as many players couldn't get time off work to play in the extended football season. Now, meanwhile, professional footballers are trying to get time off football and off work. work. The Professional Footballers Association has said that FIFA's new tournament has created a never-ending calendar that is exhausting to players. The PFA has joined a legal action against FIFA for abuse of power.
Okay. Finally, Emily, you've spotted a story that may be of interest to James Bond fans. It's about the UK spy agency.
Exactly. The MI6 have appointed the first woman to head Britain's intelligence agency. Blaise Metruelli is currently responsible for technology and innovation, which is why she's being called Q in that headline there. But she now becomes M for Bond fans, but C in real life, a codename which was established in the 1900s by Captain Mansfield Cumming, who used to sign his letters C. Her appointment is a first in MI6's 116-year history. Well, the new C is probably going to have to make a few reforms, but she might turn to Germany for inspiration. This is quite an odd article in the Times today. Sleeping with your comrade's wife is bad for morale, troops are told. This is a story following a ruling of a court-martial in Germany who docked a sergeant major's pay after he violated his duty of, quote, comradeship. German soldiers can now be punished for having an affair with each other's spouses because of the danger of romantic strife eroding morale. I think if romantic strife is a punishable offence, James Bond might have to change a few of his practices, something the new C might be able to look out for.
Emily Boyle, as I look at the international papers, thanks very much indeed.